So for those that don't know me, I'm Bill Lamori, lead pastor here at Calvary Fellowship. We're so glad that you're cooling off with us today, being refreshed in your soul at Calvary. And, you know, normally, everyone all right? All right. So normally, most Sundays, I teach. But you know what? One of the things we've always done at Calvary is we try to pepper in some other voices, both internally and externally, because I think it's wonderful to hear God's word presented from different voices. And as I said, a lot of times we do that internally, and sometimes we do that externally. And we're doing that today. We have a good friend, both of me and our church. Pastor Montz is the pastor of the Citadel of Love in Hartford, and he founded that church about 23 years ago. And I got to know him, about four and a half years ago, and just have really enjoyed getting to know him, breaking bread with him, sitting down, talking to him, praying with him. One of the things I love about Pastor Montz is he's a bridge builder. He really does build bridges to other churches. He builds bridges to other pastors, and so I've personally benefited from him. And he's spoken here a number of times over the past few years, and I always find myself challenged, inspired, encouraged. And so with all those good things, what am I still doing up here? Would you warmly welcome Pastor Montz from the Citadel of Love?
Praise the Lord, everybody. Oh, you're supposed to say praise the Lord. I'm sorry. Praise the Lord, everybody. Amen. To God be the glory. Let's pray. Father, we love you and we thank you. We appreciate you for your faithfulness to us, your people. We invoke your presence now. Be with us, Lord. If I'm too high, bring me down. If I'm too low, bring me up. If I'm too far out, bring me in. Our prayer today, Lord, is that you just get the glory. Touch some life today. Save some soul today. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Good morning and God bless you. It's so good to see everybody this morning. I am so happy to be here. Would you please help me celebrate our pastor and our leader of this great church, Pastor Bill Lamori. Let's give God praise for him. I don't know where he is. Amen. We thank the Lord for him. What an amazing man of God he is, and I too have enjoyed just fellowship with him. He is really like a brother to me, and I thank God for that. And because he's like a brother to me, that means you're family, right? Uh-oh. I got to remember where I am, okay? You have to talk back to me, okay? So for all of you who have seen it in the movies and you want to pretend like you're at a black church today. All right. Listen, as he said, we are beginning this month, the Citadel of Love will be celebrating its 23rd church anniversary. We started in July of 1995, and it's been amazing to see what God has done. And one of the things that we're doing is on July 11th, write it down, Wednesday, July 11th, we're having a dinner for our friends and our family. Everything is free, and we hope that you could come by. It's at 6 o'clock. At the Citadel of Love. Check out our website, thecitadelofloveorg, and you can get all the information. But it's at 6 o'clock, and we're going to go until we run out. Everything's free. We're not doing, like, tofu and lettuce. It's fried chicken, barbecue ribs, macaroni and cheese, collard greens. Did I convince you yet? And so much more. Amen. There you go. Yes. So please put it on your calendar and just come by. We would just love for you to come and fellowship with us as we celebrate. That's it. We're not having a preacher. Nothing else. It's just food and family. All right? Amen. So this clock. All right. Did you start it over? Thank you. Okay. Amen. Let's look at our scripture for today in Mark, the 11th chapter. Verse 22 through 24, I'm reading from the King James Version. It says, "And Jesus answering saith unto them, Have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. So far, the scriptures. I found that the truth of the matter is most of us, whenever we think of a mountain that we might have in our lives, we don't just think about the mountain in relation to our God, but we think about the mountain in relation to our own capability. Subsequently, we literally start to think about how much dynamite or explosives it would take to move our heaven and earth-sized mountain. But the Bible tells us that if we would speak to the mountain, it would be removed. Now, this is not in my notes, but sometimes I wonder why we are pushing things that we should be speaking to. There's a gospel song, and I'm not the best singer in town. These young people were singing so good, but if you don't mind, I want to just sing a little bit of it. And it says, have you any rivers that may seem uncrossable? And have you any mountains that you can't tunnel through? This is the point I want to get you to. God specializes in things called impossible, and he will do what no other power can do. Anybody believe that this morning? And isn't that just like human nature? Whenever we have a need or a problem, we start to think, if we can't figure it out right away on our own, then it's the end of the world, and we become fearful. We become like Fred Sanford. Lizbeth, this is the big one. Instead of realizing the magnitude of the incredible opportunity it presents in our lives. Here, beloved, is the question of the day. Are you willing to just let go and trust Jesus and take him at his word? Are you ready to really believe that he will take the dilemma and turn your dilemma into a new opportunity for you? I recently watched a movie based on a Stephen King novel called It. And without giving away the story, I would just say this. Fear is not pretty or productive. Of course, I had to scream 5 times before I figured that out. It's an ugly trick of the enemy that he uses on a nonstop basis. It's the opposite of faith, and it is counterproductive. It actually keeps God from working in your life, all because you are uptight about not knowing what's going to happen in your situation. But guess what? If God is ever going to do amazing things in your life, and I believe he is, you're going to have to get used to God working in his own way, in his own time, and on his own. He did not consult you when he created the universe, and he does not need your advice now. The one thing that we do that ties up God's hands in our life is doubt. How is it that we are called believers and filled with so much doubt? The Bible tells us in Hebrews 11:1, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, but yet unseen. You go down a few more verses, 6, he says, and without faith it is impossible to please God, but he rewards those who diligently seek him. I was reading in Ecclesiastes, the 11th chapter in the 5th verse. It says, as you do not know what is the way of the wind, or how the bones grow in the womb of her who is with child, so you do not know the works of God who makes everything. Nobody really completely understands the miracle of life, but we're okay with it. Something so complicated, and we don't even question it, but we know that it works. It's the same with all of our needs, all of our wants, all of our desires in life. Before they can ever be manifested, there has to be a birthing process, and that is called faith. Look again at our scripture. And Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that all those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. Whatever. Whatever. But Pastor Munch, you don't understand. My dream is big. Whatever. But I need God to really turn my whole situation all the way around. Whatever. But my family has always been like this. Whatever you desire, if you believe it, you will have it. And look at this. Matthew 17 and 20. And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible to you. Matthew 17 and 20 says it pretty clearly. It states that the only amount of the size of a grain of mustard seed is all we need. We don't need a lot. That's how much faith. A mustard seed is like the size of a gnat. A gnat is barely something that you can catch. Have you ever seen people trying to kill a gnat? Because it will annoy you. How can something so tiny annoy you? Our faith in Jesus Christ's ability will do the very same thing to our needs if we'll apply it and believe that Jesus will do exactly what he said he will do. And if you think about it, why wouldn't we trust him? Because if we can't trust everything he said, then why would we trust anything he said? Trust it all or don't trust him at all. I think I'm going to say that again. Trust it all or don't trust him at all. You see, the thing is this. God is not looking for something impossible. When God asks us to trust him, he's asking for something completely and absolutely possible. The truth is this. We already possess what he's asking us to do. He has already given us the capability to do what he's asking for. In Romans, the 12th chapter and the 3rd verse, it says, for I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. Listen to it in the Message version. He says, I'm speaking to you out of deep gratitude for all that God has given me, and especially as I have responsibilities in relation to you. Living then, as every one of you does, in pure grace, it's important that you not misinterpret yourselves as people who are bringing this goodness to God. No, God brings it all to you. The only accurate way to understand ourselves is by what God is and by what he does for us, not by what we are and what we do for him. It's all God. They told me in seminary, when you want to make a point, you got to say it 3 times. So I'll say it again. It's all God. It's all God. And it's important that you not misinterpret yourselves as people who are bringing the goodness to God. No, God is bringing the goodness to us. And God expects all of us to have at least a tiny bit of faith. And a tiny bit is all that is needed to move mountains. With only tiny bit of faith attached to your belief in Jesus Christ, we can do anything that we want to do for God. Mark 9:23, because I hear you. I hear you talking. Oh, that's nice. But I don't know about all that, man. Well, Mark 9:23 says, Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. Contrary to what the enemy would have you think, it doesn't take a great man or a great woman or somebody that's famous or important to have mountain-moving faith. It just takes someone who is willing to use the tiny bit of faith that they have. How about the woman who had a demon-possessed daughter? The Bible said, he was talking to her, he said, look, stand in line and take your turn. The children get fed first. And if there's anything left over, then the dogs get it. She said, sure, truth, master. But even the dogs deserve the crumbs that fall from the master's table. And Jesus, he said, you know what? You are right. Go ahead. Go your way. Your daughter is no longer disturbed. What was her name? The woman. How about the leper that came to him? Bible says he came down from the mountains and great multitudes followed him. And there was a leper that came and said, would you make me clean? If you are willing, Lord, make me clean. Jesus put out his hand and touched him saying, I'm willing, be clean. And immediately the leprosy was clean. What was his name? The leper. We find another story about just a little bit of faith. Hallelujah. There was a great big crowd and they were gathering. And when they heard that Jesus was around, everybody came out to see what he was going to do. He was teaching the word and he was preaching. And they brought a paraplegic to him and he was carried by four men because he couldn't even walk himself. And they couldn't get him in to the house where Jesus was teaching. So they took him up on a roof and they dropped him down through the roof, and that man was healed. He said, pick up your bed and walk. What was his name? The paraplegic. The woman, the leper, the paraplegic, lame, blind, the insane. They came with just a mustard seed size of faith, and they all received their breakthrough. All of these nameless people were not necessarily great. They were not important by society's standards. Hallelujah. As a matter of fact, these weren't all necessarily churchgoers. We can't even say that they were the most respectable people in the community. But they all exercised that tiny bit of faith that God had given them, and they received their miracle. And the thing is this, if you were to ask them to tell you how big their need was, they would have said, it's a mountain. I'm blind. I can't see. That's a big deal. But for that big deal, they brought their little faith to Jesus and got their miracle. Now, this is when it's getting good. I simply came to encourage you in your faith today. God is not a respecter of persons. He loves us all the same. I like to say it like this. God is a repeat offender. And he's not weaker now than he was back then. Jim Reeves wrote a song that says, the chimes of time ring out the news. Another day is through. Someone slipped and fell. Was that someone you? You may have longed for added strength, your courage to renew. Do not be disheartened. I've got good news for you. It is no secret what God can do. What he's done for others, he'll do for you. With arms wide open, he'll pardon you. It is no secret what God can do. The same things that God did for people in the Bible, he wants to do for us today. Everybody under the sound of my voice in this room, he wants to do it for you today. Now, I don't really tell stories good, but I'm going to try and see if I can make this one work. There was a couple little boys. They lived in the village, and they wanted to have some fun with the old man that lived up the hill. And so they said, what we're going to do is we're going to go up the hill, and we're going to ask the old man what we have in our hand. And they put a marble in their hand. They went up the hill to the old man. They said, old man, bet you can't guess what we got in our hand. The old man said, it's a marble. They got mad and turned around and ran back down the hill. They said, we got to get that old man. We got to stump him. Said, I know what we're going to do. We're going to take a little bird up the hill. And we're going to ask him, is the bird dead or alive? And if he says that the bird is alive, I'll kill it. And then I say, nope, you were wrong. They took the bird and they went up the hill to the old man. Said, old man, I bet you can't guess what I got in my hand. Old man said, you got a bird in your hand. He said, yeah, but is it dead or is it alive? The kids were excited because they thought they had him now. The old man looked at him and he said, it's up to you. And that's what God is saying. It is up to you. It's already in your hand. Now, what are you going to do with it? The fate of our needs is in our hands. Hallelujah. There was a woman, widow woman. She had a little bit of cornmeal. Was getting ready to make a sandwich, a little piece of bread for her and her son, and they were going to eat and die. And Elijah told her, he said, look, if you make me a cake first, then the jar of flour will not be used up and you'll always have oil. She did it, and how amazing is our God. She continued to eat while everybody else was in famine. What do you say when all you have is gone? What do you say when your strength is depleted? What do you do when you're trying to smile but the tears keep coming down your eyes? The answer is simple. All you got to do is say, all I have is what you've given to me, Lord. A measure of faith to believe. And I believe that you will do what you said. And that's what you will do and nothing less. And the answer will always come back from God. That's more than enough. I came all the way from the north end of Hartford to tell you that if you can just believe God this much, get ready for your miracle. I don't mean to desecrate this service, but since we Pentecostal this morning, would you please look at somebody on your row and tell them, I'm next because I believe God. Now, if you sit next to somebody that didn't say something, you might want to encourage them, but find somebody else and tell them, I'm next because I believe God. Hallelujah. Don't try to figure it out. All you need is a little bit of faith. If you figure it out, that's reasoning. It's called trusting God to meet your need. In Philippians 4:6, Paul says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Don't worry, people of God. Hallelujah. Don't worry. You must trust God. God is going to make it all right. I know we live in a world that sometimes it feels like it's torn apart. Hallelujah. And it feels like the stuff that is going on, if you're not careful, it will break your heart. But don't worry. Don't cry. God still has victory for you in the midst of all of this. What you must do is trust in Jesus and depend on him. You've got to learn the value of keeping your faith in his promises, and everything is going to be all right. Hallelujah. He says in Philippians 4:19, He gives this liberating promise of consistent provision. He says, my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. If I can get you to live by faith in this promise of consistent, undeserved provision, then depression will never defeat you. Anxiety will never annihilate you. Sickness will never swallow you. And death will never destroy you. The riches of God's glory are inexhaustible. They are bountiful. They're endless. They're limitless. They're never ending. And he really means for us not to worry about our future. So we must trust God. Now, don't talk to your neighbor right now, but just say it and make the devil mad. Somebody say, I trust God. I say it again. I trust God. Now, say it this last time so hell can hear it. Say, I trust God. I trust him always. Matthew 28 and 20, he says, and lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world. And so I'm on my way out of here because this clock is making me nervous. Hallelujah. But whenever I slip into anxious behavior, and I do. I preach big and bad, but the enemy tricks me sometimes too. But when I slip into anxious behavior about something new or something that is confusing, I fight with my faith and I punch the devil with God's promises. And the Bible says in Isaiah 41 and 9, I took you from the ends of the earth, from its farthest corners I called you. I said, you are my servant. I have chosen you and have not rejected you. So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. I don't care where you find yourself today. You're usually in one of three places in life. I told you this the last time I came. You're either in a storm, you're coming out of a storm, or you're getting ready to go into a storm. But what I need you to know is this promise says, I will strengthen you and I will help you. God never leaves you alone. People will get tired, but God is full of persistent provision. Don't lose your faith, church. Now, according to this, I got 2 minutes. It's really more than that. I'm just making it dramatic. But can I pray for somebody today who says, I have believed God to save me, but I'm not sure that I'm walking completely in faith the way I ought to in my life. I'm not going to try to knock you down or anything. I just want you to stand up. If you're here, you say, I want to walk by faith every day. If that's you, stand on your feet. I want to pray with you today. I just want to walk by faith. I want to trust God in every situation. I don't know about you, but I don't like the way I feel when I'm afraid. I just want to trust God. If you don't mind, grab somebody's hand close to you. Father, in the name of Jesus, I come to you now. Your word is very clear. Without faith, it is impossible to please you. And Lord, we can't just believe you to save us, but not to carry us. So we come to you today, God, more than anything else. We want to live a life of faith so we can please you. And God, thank you for letting us know that we don't have to be like anybody else, just the little bit you gave us. Give us the strength and the anointing to work the faith that you have given us, so that by our lives of faith, we give you glory in the earth. Thank you, Lord, that we don't have to worry about sickness, that we don't have to worry about the trial and the test, that we don't have to worry about death, because we know you are in control. So we trust you, Lord. We believe you. And we thank you. Thank you so much. Now, God, this person whose hands I'm holding, I don't just want to be happy by myself. But Lord, I ask that you would touch my neighbor. Strengthen my neighbor in that secret place where they've never been able to tell anybody, but God, they've struggled with their faith. God bless my neighbor right now. In the name of Jesus. Oh God, let hope come alive in my neighbor. In the name of Jesus, please don't let my neighbor quit. Hallelujah. I know they've had some challenging days, but you brought them to this moment, and I pray, God, that you will give them total victory so that they can tell everybody, look what God did for me. And I thank you right now in Jesus' name. Now, if you believe God, clap your hands and give him praise. Hallelujah. It's close. I'm leaving, but do me this one last favor, because I believe that we're brothers and sisters. We're family. So do me a favor and just hug somebody and tell them, I have faith for you too. Just wrap your arms around and tell them, I got faith for you too.